ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, chapter 20, Lord Vishnu's appearance in the sacrificial arena, text 25. Sa uttama shloka mahat mukkachuta bhavat Para Ambhuja Sudha Kana Anila Smritim Puna Vismrita Tatva Vartmanam Kuyoginam Na Vitarati Alam Varai Sa Uttama Shloka Mahan Mukachuto Sa Uttama Shloka Mahan Mukachuto Bhavat Padam Bhuja Shutakan Nila Bhavat padam bhuja shudakana nila Smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam Smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam Kuyoginam no virachalam varai Kuyoginam no vitarachalam varai Sa uttama shloka mahan mukachuto Bhavat padam bhuja shudakana nila Smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam Kuyoginam no vitarachalam varai. Next, please. Sa uttama shloka mahan mukachuto Bhavat param bhuja sudakana nila Smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam Kuyoginam no vitarachalam varai Sa uttama shloka mahan mukachuto Bhavat padam bhuja sudakana nila Smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam Kuyoginam no vitarachalam varai. Ladies, Sa uttama shloka mahan mukachuto Bhavat padam bhuja sudakana nila Smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam Kuyoginam na vitarachalam varai Sa uttama shloka mahan mukachuto Bhavatpadam Bhujasya Kanalila Smritin Punar Vismrita Tattva Vartmanam Kuyoginam Navitaratya Langvarai. Uttamashloka Manusha. Did you say that? All right. Sa. That. Uttamashloka. O Lord, who are praised by selected verses. Mahat. Of great devotees. Mukachuta. Delivered from their mouths. Bhavat. Your. Pada Ambhuja. From the lotus feet. Sudha. Of nectar. Kana. Particles. Anila. Soothing breeze. Smritim. Remembrance. Puna. Again. Vismrita. Forgotten. Tattva. To the truth. Vartmanam. Of persons whose path. Kuyoginam. Of persons not in the line of devotees. Na. Of us. Vitarati. Restores. Alam. Unnecessary. Varai. Other benedictions. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, you are glorified by the selected verses uttered by great personalities. This is Prithu Maharaj speaking. Such glorification of your lotus feet is just like saffron particles. When the transcendental vibration from the mouths of great devotees carries the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet, the forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouth of your pure devotee. Purport. It is explained in the previous verse that one has to hear glorification of the Lord from the mouth of a pure devotee. This is further explained here. The transcendental vibration from the mouth of a pure devotee is so powerful that it can revive the living entity's memory of his internal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In our material existence, under the influence of illusory Maya, we have almost forgotten our eternal relationship with the Lord, exactly like a man sleeping very deeply, who forgets his duties. In the Vedas, it is said that every one of us is sleeping under the influence of Maya. We must get up from this slumber and engage in the right service, for thus we can properly utilize the facility of this human form of life. As expressed in a song by Thakur Bhaktivinoda, Lord Chaitanya says, Jeev Jaga, Jeev Jaga. The Lord asks every sleeping living entity to get up and engage in devotional service so that his mission in this human form of life may be fulfilled. This awakening voice comes through the mouth of a pure devotee. A pure devotee always engages in the service of the Lord, taking shelter of his lotus feet, and therefore he has a direct connection with the saffron mercy particles that are strewn over the lotus feet of the Lord. Although when a pure devotee speaks, the articulation of his voice may resemble the sound of this material sky, the voice is spiritually very powerful because it touches the particles of the saffron dust on the lotus feet of the Lord. As soon as a sleeping living entity hears this powerful voice emanating from the mouth of a pure devotee, he immediately remembers his eternal relationship with the Lord, although up until that moment he had forgotten everything. For a conditioned soul, therefore, it is very important to hear from the mouth of a pure devotee, who is fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord without any material desire, speculative knowledge, or contamination of the modes of material nature. Every one of us is kuyogi, because we have engaged in the service of this material world, forgetting our eternal relationship with the Lord as His eternal loving servants. It is our duty to rise from the kuyoga platform to become suyogis, perfect mystics. The process of hearing from a pure devotee is recommended in all Vedic scriptures, especially by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One may stay in his position in life, it doesn't matter what it is, but if one hears from the mouth of a pure devotee, he gradually comes to the understanding of his relationship with the Lord and thus engages in his loving service, and his life becomes completely perfect. Therefore, this process of hearing from the mouth of a pure devotee is very important for making progress in the line of spiritual understanding. Sa uttama shloka mahan mukho chuto bhavat parambu ca shuddha kananila smrithim punavismrita tatvatmanam kuyoginam navitarachalangvaray. My dear Lord, you are glorified by the selected verses uttered by great personalities. Such glorification of your lotus feet is just like saffron particles. When the transcendental vibration from the mouths of great devotees carry the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet, the forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the values of life. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouth of your pure devotee. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Paramichandra Sri Paidagadara Sri Gopachabunda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here Srila Prabhupada points out, and the verse points out, the importance of listening to a pure devotee. If we want to learn how to become devotees, quite naturally we had to learn from some other devotee. Even in the material sphere this is true. Actually we wouldn't know anything if somebody hadn't taught us. We wouldn't even know how to tie our shoelaces if somebody hadn't taught us to do so. We wouldn't know that 2 + 2 = 4 if somebody hadn't taught us. We are completely a product of what we have been taught by our predecessors, by previous, our parents, our other people, friends, society. Everything we know, everything we think we know, we have been taught by someone else. That's why modern people are so brain dead. In the modern society, people, they are brought up to believe that first there was a bunch of chemicals, then these chemicals, they assembled and they created a little like amoeba, then this amoeba gradually grew legs and learned to talk, and first it could just grunt, then it learned to talk and add 2 and 2 is for, and then he learned to speak, to write Shakespeare. This is what modern people are actually brought up to believe in. So therefore, naturally, they are very, I mean, because it's such an idiotic idea. Naturally, we know what we know, we can speak, we can function because somebody taught us to do so. So the Vedic explanation is much more logical. It even makes much more sense from a material point of view. Because the Vedas tell us that knowledge is eternal. Knowledge is eternal, everything we know is eternal. Everything is eternal and somebody always knows, somebody has always told us so. So if this is true on the material platform, how much more is it not true on the spiritual platform to learn something about Krishna? We might ask, what is the big deal even to know mathematics or to know whatever we know? We have learned from our teacher. So what is the big deal? Why are the pure devotees being glorified like this here in the Bhagavatam? It's like, it's such a unique thing. And it is a unique thing. And why is it such a unique thing? Because it is so rare. It is so rare that a person comes and tells us about Krishna. We may not have that experience because we are surrounded by devotees. But imagine what it was for Prabhupada when he first came to the West. He was the only devotee. Nobody else. He was completely alone. Him and Krishna, and of course the whole parampara was backing him up. But he didn't have devotees to associate with. He had to create devotees. And it is Srila Prabhupada's greatness that he created all these devotees that we have here today. We're all here because what Prabhupada did. Every day we can imagine that. Every day we can see Krishna in the temple. It's such a rare opportunity. And that's why the devotees are glorified like this. Because they're so rare in this world. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, Manushinam sahasreshu kaschit yaradisithaye yatatam abhisithanam kaschin mam vichitatpataha. Out of many, many thousands of peoples, one may endeavor for perfection, and out of those who have achieved perfection, very few know Krishna. There's another verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that I was looking up when I was studying for this verse, and it tells us how rare the devotees are on this planet. It is King Chitraketu, he speaks to Sukadeva Goswami. So King Chitraketu says, there are as many living entities in this world as there are atoms. As many living entities as there are atoms. And out of all these living entities, innumerable living entities in the material world, we have to understand that all the amoebas, all the little tiny particles, bacteria, they are all souls, and there are so many millions and billions of living entities, and only very few of those are interested in religious principles. And out of all those who are interested in religious principles, only very few are interested in liberation, to actually get out of the material world. Many people, they become religious because they want to be pious, they want to live a peaceful life, they want to be good. But they actually don't want to get out of the world. They want to enjoy in the material world. So it is very rare to find a person who actually wants to get out of the material world to achieve liberation. And out of all those people who actually desire liberation, very, very few achieve liberation. Very few achieve to give up that attachment to wife, children, family, society. Very few actually want that. And out of all those who want liberation, very few achieve liberation. And out of all those who have achieved liberation, very few actually understand what liberation means. They have Very few have knowledge, perfect knowledge of what liberation means, what it actually means to get out of the material world. And out of all those who have knowledge of liberation, of what it actually means, perfect knowledge of liberation, and who have become liberated and have gone out of the material world, very few knows Krishna, very few are devotees of Krishna. So imagine that, how rare it is. How rare a devotee of Lord Krishna is. And here we are, we know Prabhupada, we know his devotees. It is such a unique thing. Sometimes we don't understand it fully, how lucky or fortunate we are to be in the association of Lord Krishna's devotees. But it's a rare thing, and that's why they're being glorified like this in the Bhagavatam. They're so rare in this world. It's not an ordinary thing to come in contact with somebody who tells you the truth. Very, very rare. And Srila Prabhupada did that, and Srila Prabhupada trained his devotees, and we were trained by his devotees. So now we have to go out into the world and we have to tell people about Krishna. But it is not an easy thing, because actually when we try to, Prabhupada says that when you actually try to surrender to Krishna, it's like declaring war on the material energy. So when we preach to people and try to tell them of Krishna, very, very few people will be interested. Very few people. There will be very few who will be interested, and out of those who are interested, very few will actually want to get out of the material world. And we shouldn't be discouraged by that. Sometimes we can't understand, why are people so idiotic? Why can't they understand this? It's so logical. It makes so much sense. And Krishna will actually make you happy. Don't you want to be happy? But I am happy, people say. Yeah, but don't you want to be real happy? But people, they don't want that. They don't want Krishna. That's why we are actually here in the material world to begin with. Because we didn't want Krishna. So when we preach, now we have gotten a little particle of desire to be with Krishna by the mercy of Krishna's devotees. We have gotten this little desire, says in the verse, gradually we come to remember our eternal position as Krishna's eternal servants. Gradually we will become purified and we will surrender more and more to Krishna. So when we tell people about this and they don't want to listen, we have to understand that we are up against Krishna. It's Krishna's illusory energy that we are trying to break through, and nobody can do that without the mercy of Krishna. It's not that by our great logic or our great learning or by reading a lot of books or by our logic and argument that we will convince people. I used to think like that. Why can't they understand? I'm so logical. I'm just telling you how it is. Why don't you get it? Any idiot can understand it's not good to slaughter cows and eat them. I mean, you don't have to be a great big pandit to understand that. It's just normal decency. Can't you understand? And can you understand Krishna is God? It's so obvious. Of all the religions of the world, there's so many religions. And our Vaishnava religion is the only religion that actually makes sense and that can answer all the questions of life. Our Vaishnava religion is the only religion that has detailed, authorized answers to all the philosophical, existential and religious questions in life. No other religion can say that. You ask a Christian, how come people are born differently? How come somebody is poor and somebody is rich, somebody is ugly, somebody is beautiful? Why is that? If we haven't existed before, if this is our first existence, how come God makes this difference between people? They have no good answer. We can explain everything. So why won't people get it? Why can't they? And why are there so few people who are interested in the absolute truth? And that is because they need the mercy of Krishna. They actually need to be touched by the mercy of Krishna. And how do you become touched by the mercy of Krishna? By Krishna's pure devotee. That's how we came, because we were touched by the words of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's devotees. That's how we got in contact with Krishna and his pure devotee, because somebody told us. So now we shouldn't think, well, I'm just some fallen rascal, I can't tell people of Krishna. Yes, you know, if you know Krishna as God, it is your duty to go out and tell people Krishna is God, and your duty is to surrender unto Him. And it is not just some fanaticism that we do this because we want people to believe the same that we do. No, it is because that when people don't understand this very simple thing, that there is a God and my duty is to serve Him, then they commit all kinds of sinful activities and they destroy the whole world. That is explained in the 16th chapter. The demonic people, they don't want to hear, they act whimsically, and they come up with activities that are meant to destroy the world. How are they destroying the world? By cars, by asphalt, by plastic. The whole Coca-Cola culture is simply just destroying the world. And this we see now. The weather is becoming more and more bad, more and more war, more and more unpeace. Everywhere, more and more disease. We can see that nature is actually reacting against this modern demonic culture. And it is going to be wiped out. Srila Prabhupada, when he saw this, when he came to Manhattan and he saw the skyscrapers, he turned around and said to his disciple, don't think that they will be there forever. There will be a time when they will not be there anymore. And that time may be sooner than we think. This modern culture is not going to last for much longer. It's actually quite obvious if we look out into the world and see how things are going on. So, therefore, it's our duty to try and help people. And like Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Maharaj said, there are no material solutions to material problems. We cannot, by the help of politics or this or that, nothing will help this world except Krishna consciousness. That's why ISKCON is a preaching movement. That is Srila Prabhupada's legacy to us. He was never small-minded or had a small vision. He would always think bigger and bigger. He would always surprise the devotees. They thought, but now we have done so much, let's lean back and rest on our laurels. But Prabhupada would never do that. He would always demand more and more and more. First of all, of course, he would demand that we would become pure devotees and surrender fully to Krishna. And then he would demand that we would go out into the world and preach this message. Because Prabhupada wanted to save the world. Prabhupada said that in the future, people will actually thank us for having saved the world. So, right now, things don't look good in the world. The seven sages have predicted there will be more and more disease, more and more war, and food production will diminish, people will suffer, and a great deal of the world's population, a great number of the world's population will be wiped out. But those who are left, there will be a lot of devotees, and they will be the people who are alternatively minded. And the devotees will be there. And then, that's how I think that the new age of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will begin. Because then, The age of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began when Mahaprabhu was born 500 years ago, but it cannot really take root in the modern culture because the modern culture is so completely adverse to everything spiritual. The modern culture is actually training people up to become stupid and brain dead. And how can they do that? They do that with the help of the TV. This is how they make, like in the old days, you couldn't brainwash more than one village at a time. Then you would send people out from this village and they would go to the next village and they would tell people. But people, they would only know, basically they would only know what went on in their own local area. But nowadays you know what's going on all over the world and you have made a whole world into thinking the same. And that is only possible by this mass media, led by the TV. This is how they can make the whole world believing such nonsense as Darwin's theory and all the other stuff, that there's no God, that life is simply meant to get ahead and enjoy. How can they make a whole world believe such an untruth? It is only possible because of this mass media. So the mass media and brainwash the whole world into an untruth, and it's going to be very hard to establish Krishna consciousness in such a society. We are actually quite successful because we're like just going here and there and preaching, and here and there some people are converting or they're beginning to think. But like we saw in Christianity, the big change will not happen before a whole state becomes Krishna conscious. In the beginning, Christianity was also some just little obscure sect, just like Hare Krishna now. We're just some little in the world. We think, here we live in Mayapur, so we're surrounded by devotees. But if we go out into the world, we're just some obscure little sect. And that's how also Christianity started out, as an obscure little sect. But then when they got the emperor, the Roman emperor, converted, Constantine, when he was converted, then he started by the sword. He started to go all over the world. The Romans went all over the world and they slaughtered people. And that's how Christianity started and became a world religion. So we are, of course, not... Sometimes we would like to. I would, at least. There was one Alva. What was the name of this Alva? He would go around, he would ask people, are you a devotee of Krishna? No. Smash him, kill him on the spot. Put his spear into him. So, but that's not the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our mission is to kill the demonic mentality of people. And everyone is possessed of this materialistic demonic mentality. So our fight in the world as preachers is to kill this mentality. And that is being done by preaching Krishna consciousness. Of course we have to be convinced ourselves and we have to be pure. Purity is the force, Srila Prabhupada said. So by being convinced and by loving Krishna, then we can also start people on their path, just like we were started on our path on Krishna consciousness by getting the word from some devotee, then we can also start someone else by being that devotee who utters this word. Of course, we may not be as pure devotees as the ones in Srimad Bhagavatam or like Srila Prabhupada and some of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Some of us are not so pure, but it will still have effect when we tell people about Krishna. So we can also start people on their path back home, back to Godhead. And we all have our tiny little place in Srila Prabhupada's movement. We all have our tiny little function, tiny little duty, little place to tell other people about Krishna. It is the only hope people, and even the most demonic person, the most materialistic rascal, and I won't listen to, like, I hate to say this, but my mother, when I preached to her about about, I say, but she says, don't, I say, don't you believe in anything? Yeah, I believe in my protective, I think I have a protective guardian, but that's Krishna, I say. Oh, shut up about this, Krishna, can you be normal? She's so averse to hearing anything about Krishna. So most people are like that, but they just, see, my mother said Krishna, can you shut up about this Krishna? So, she's being saved from hell. Just by hearing the name Krishna, it completely upsets people's karma. And they are saved, basically they are saved from the most hellish circumstances just by hearing the name Krishna, what to speak if they start regularly chanting Krishna. The name of Krishna is so powerful, it's glorified in all the scriptures by all the acharyas. So powerful, the name Krishna. It's not different from Krishna. So, if we just go out and tell people Krishna, we will benefit them. And thus we can save people from the most horrible circumstances. Thank you very much for your kind attention and your patience. Are there any comments and questions? Okay, so we'll end here. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Go Primananda Hare Hare Gopi.